Anyhow, this is the Tater Report, CIT 89.5 FM, and I think we are joined by Rick Sterling. Are you there, Rick?
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Thank you very much, Rick, for talking to us. You've written a very good piece. I saw it at the Duran. I know that people just write Rick Sterling, and you can find this piece. Rick is an investigative journalist, and he's with the Syria Solidarity Movement. You've written about this matter, which we've already, it's like now a few days goes by, and it's almost like so many things have happened. The U.S. government struck Syria with 59 missiles because they said the government of Syria had used chemical weapons against beautiful babies, and right. The president's daughter had been disturbed at seeing the pictures, and therefore it was necessary to give the word to fire missiles at another sovereign country, and then to describe that rather Nero-like while talking about chocolate cake. This is, to me, a maddening situation. Your article clarifies the matter. It starts with this alarm and this rush to attack, which, by the way, Canada endorsed the attack after first saying there should be an investigation. Right. Has there been any investigation? Does anybody actually know what happened on April the 4th for sure?
No, there's been no on-the-ground investigation. There's been a number of careful reviews of the video. The Guardian out of London sent a reporter in there just a day or two after the event, and they claimed they claimed that was an investigation, and but it was very limited, and they had photographs of one of the strikes, but then the author of that report talked about four strikes. Well, where are the other three buildings that were damaged supposedly? Mm-hmm. So it was very unconvincing. It was not a serious investigation, and that hasn't happened yet. And both Syria's called for an impartial, independent investigation, and so has Russia. It's the U.S. that said, well, we know what happened, and presumably we don't need an investigation because we already know who's guilty, and that's that.
We don't need any stinking badges. This is Rick Sterling. I should have read the title because it's a very important title, The Escalating War on Syria and the Need for International Law. Now, there is international law, but you point out that the U.S. has a kind of a little shell game they call humanitarian law,
right,
which contributes to this kind of a mess. What's missing here?
Well, unfortunately, international law has been completely subverted and sidelined and ignored, and it's been kind of replaced. I'd like to do some research and really document this, but in the late 1990s and early 2000s, international law was effectively replaced by something called humanitarian law. And so you had groups
Say something, because it's kind of hard to define that thing, isn't it?
Well, no, they have specific rules. You're not allowed to, intentionally kill civilians and things like that.
This is chapter 7 versus chapter 6.
Well, the big difference is that international law is very clear that you're not allowed to attack another country unless that country has attacked you, or unless you have the authorization of the UN Security Council. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two ways a country can attack another country, as the U.S. did on April 6th. Mm-hmm. But that has been subverted. All of the wars of the last, the invasion of Iraq, and even going back to the early 1990, when the U.S. Attacked Iraq after Iraq invaded and intervened in Kuwait, there's been a humanitarian pretext to it. So in that case, you had a marketing company that fabricated this scene where there were supposedly babies taken out of incubators with the incubators stolen and taken back to Iraq and the babies left on the floor. So that,
by the way, there was a president's wife got involved. I remember Bush saying, my wife was so upset when she saw that testimony.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There were tears. It turned out the nurse who was testifying in Congress and bringing congressional representatives to tears, turned out the so-called nurse was actually the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador, and she'd actually only been to Kuwait a couple of times. She grew up in Washington, D.C., basically.
She's probably still there.
You know, and then you had Colin Powell's persuasive performance at the U.N. Security Council in early 2003, and the Western media immediately said, well, that's a slam dunk. It's clear as a bell. Obviously, Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, and let's go, attack them. And so the U.S. launched Shock and Awe. Mm-hmm. And more or less a million Iraqi dead later, we've got the emergence of ISIS and the destabilization of the Middle East. Mm-hmm. You had Libya in 2011. Syria has been ongoing since March of 2011. And it's quite similar to the Contra conflict that mm-hmm. happened in the 1980s, where the U.S. sponsored a proxy army to attack a sovereign country that they wanted to overthrow the government of, except it's multiplied by 100. This time around, it's not just the U.S. It's the U.S. plus all the wealthy Gulf monarchies. It's with France, the U.K., mm-hmm. with all Western Europe, basically, and Canada is in there as well. Mm-hmm. So you've had hundreds of Canadians recruited to join ISIS and Nusra and other terrorist groups and kill and be killed. Mm-hmm. And there's hundreds of Canadians. There's thousands and tens of thousands of French, Belgian, and UK citizens have been recruited to fight against the Syrian government, basically to join a jihadi army. Mm-hmm. It's really horrendous what's going on there. And then this is the latest, like when the news came out about the chemical weapons incident, immediately there was a flood of media reports. That's one thing the so-called moderate rebels are really good at, mm-hmm. flooding the social media with videos. Mm-hmm. They're really good at that for a reason, because they've been trained and supplied and equipped by the U.S. and by the U.K. and other groups. Literally, they've been trained and equipped and supplied with the video cameras and everything else. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton brags about it in her book, mm-hmm. Hard Choices.
Well, so, yeah, the white helmet sponsor guy with all that money, they arranged also public relations work.
Exactly. So it's soft power. And so when it came out, I mean, the logical question is, well, who's going to benefit from this? Well, it's the worst thing in the world for the Syrian government. It's the best thing in the world. The attack there, of course, the opposition blamed the Syrian government, and Trump used that as a pretext to attack Syria. Mm-hmm. What's going on at the deeper level? If I can I give you my analysis happening at the deeper level? Basically, Trump campaigned on all these horrible policies regarding education and social policies were very, very much against the public interest, against social programs, reducing taxes and on the wealthy and so on and so forth. But he had one good thing, which he said he wanted to get away from the U.S. regime change foreign policy. Mm-hmm. He wanted to reduce tensions with Russia. Who benefits from having all of this war and bloodshed? And look at what happened to in Iraq and Libya. And he was saying this. This isn't me. This is what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Well, there really is a deep state. And, you know, whatever label you give to it, these are the CIA, the elements of the Department of Defense, the elements mm-hmm. in the military-industrial complex, the elements in the security apparatus. They have had control of U.S. foreign policy for a long, long time, and they're not about to see some, mm-hmm. Egomaniac real estate developer come in and change all that. So you've had an intense media campaign assault against Trump. All of the neocons were for Hillary Clinton. Robert Kagan, all of the standard neocons, and you even had official representatives of the CIA writing letters endorsing Clinton and saying Trump wasn't acceptable.
Yeah, 90% of the newspapers.
Exactly. So then after Trump became president, the assault went into high gear, and now they've flipped him. Now he's on his knees, and he's basically reversed his policy. Now it's regime changed all the way. Now he's attacked Syria.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, April 4th, the incident happened in Khan Sheikhoun, Syria. 2 days later, the next day, Trump changed his national security team. Bannon was out. McMaster took over. The next day, they attacked Syria. And the day after that, John McCain was gloating and saying how this is the best national security team he's seen, and Trump has seen the light.
Yes. They have people who now they call the nickname is Mad Dog, and they have important responsibilities. And
right.
The publishers and editors love these guys.
Well, and that's the sad thing. I mean, the Democrats have really disgraced themselves. They've shown themselves. Instead of focusing on what was really bad about Trump's policies, they bought on to this anti-Russia, this Russia hysteria, which is absolute nonsense. I mean, if you want to look for a foreign country that has a lot of influence, undue influence in the U.S., look no further than Saudi Arabia and Israel. They're the ones who really control Washington and influence foreign policy.
And they've been openly embracing each other recently, and it's not
exactly
a secret. It's not kept. But let's underline, you pointed out, we had the attack that almost led to a war in 2013, and it was shortly before the Geneva talks were to solve this problem were to take place. Now, this one happened similarly. There was a meeting due in Brussels.
Right, the day before, yeah. These spectacular atrocities that are always blamed on the Assad government, the timing of them is always advantageous to the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
One just has to look at the context, and then. But if you want to really prove it, which group was it, and which foreign power were they allied with? That takes some serious investigation. Ultimately, it'll come out like it did 2013. Immediately, the Western media blamed Assad, and the pressure was on Obama to launch an attack on Syria.
Do something,
exactly. And it's the same thing this time, except all the greater.
Yes.
And so they flipped Trump on this. He's reversed his policy. And now, instead of being in the doghouse, now he's presidential.
Yeah, Globe and Mail editorial or op-ed man wrote, finally, the adults have taken over the White House.
Wow.
So,
we've
attacked somebody, a sovereign country, risking nuclear war. Now, that's a sign we've got the adults running the place.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of an adult who let us all down, and I'm really glad you mentioned him in the article, Noam Chomsky, by the way, we've known this for a long time. He goes out of his way to sideswipe countries that are under duress from the U.S. He did it to Libya. And in this case, he's done it with Syria.
Yeah.
And you pointed out, you know, there's a lot of problems with it. He seems to be, people think of him as an anarchist, he seems to be a crank Democrat. He always votes Democrat. I don't know why people haven't noticed, but thank you for talking about him. Please tell us, review what your thoughts are about him.
Well, it's not just Noam Chomsky. The progressive, the left across the West has failed dismally. Their analysis of Syria has just been terribly mistaken, and it's basically demobilized the resistance and the opposition to the war. So many people have heard so many times Bashar al-Assad is a brutal dictator. The atrocities, they target hospitals, they target civilians, they kill in marketplaces, they torture here, left, right, center, thousands of civilians. You know, I've looked into these cases, and they're put forward by Doctors Without Borders, they're put forward by Amnesty, obviously. Evidently, Noam Chomsky believes them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've looked into these cases, Bill, a lot of examples. I've written many articles examining them one by one, and you find out that it's almost always based on hearsay reports from people who are paid by the opposition who are in Turkey. mm-hmm. believe it or not.
Yes.
That is the reality. So we're at a point where what Hillary Clinton talked about is soft power. She was talking about that, and Samantha Powers, the UN, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, talked a lot about soft power. Mm-hmm. One of the elements of soft power is you get these big multi-million-dollar NGOs mm-hmm. attacking a government that is in the sights of the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
whether it was Libya or now it's Syria. Mm-hmm. Russia is demonized daily.
Mm-hmm.
But if we talk about Syria, the truth about Syria, I mean, I've been to Syria a couple of times. I've studied it intensely for years now, and I've followed U.S. imperialism as well and its sidekick Canada mm-hmm. for many decades. It's really Assad, if you look at interviews with him, if you look at the work he's done, if you look at the policies he's carried out, Assad is an intelligent, he's a calm, he's a careful, he's a courageous leader.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, they were all predicting, when is Assad going to take his family and flee? When is he going to go back to London, where
yes.
he was
he's in
you
it
know,
for the money.
Doing his ophthalmology mm-hmm. work? No. I mean, basically, it's the big lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important that progressives ask for the evidence. Well, why are you saying he's a brutal dictator? And then you've got to look into the examples that are cited. But in my research, and from talking with a lot of people in Syria, and these are not, I'm not just talking to Syrian government supporters. I'm talking to all sorts of people. Some of them are quite hostile to the Ba'ath Party.
Mm-hmm.
But across the board, they are supportive of the Syrian state, the Syrian army that's defending their secular government.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important. We just went through Easter, where we see the Christians in Damascus and Aleppo
right.
going about their business and practicing their faith. And here we have an opponent which
yeah.
says we're going to burn them out of the country.
Yeah.
And West talks about always brings in Christianity. It's only against the government which protects all the religious faiths of Syria. It's
yeah.
amazing. On that point about Assad and his personnel, I noticed that they rather hold back the amount of times they let him be shown, because I assume most Americans and Canadians actually believe their own eyes and watch. And if you watch the President of the United States in that strange language and the odd breath, the way he breathes, and then talking about his chocolate cake, but then also suddenly calling the president of another country an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
you watch Assad, and you say, well, he speaks English so
yeah.
much better, and he's so much clearer.
Right.
Assad
is fluent in three languages, and Donald Trump struggles with one.
Yes.
You have quite
it resembles English.
Right. He's got with a very limited vocabulary.
Yes.
It's really now I think Justin Trudeau had a chance to to distinguish himself. When he called for an investigation, he didn't have to jump on the bandwagon 2 days later and applaud the attack.
No, I think Canadians were proud when he said that and
well,
startled
exactly.
and startled
now,
when he reversed himself.
As much as his father, I mean, I grew up in Canada, of course, so I know as much as Trudeau had his limitations, but he actually spoke out strongly against the Vietnam War at various times in his actions.
Yes.
Backed him up because he supported America or avoiding the draft and going to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Trudeau had a chance to distinguish himself.
Yes.
And he failed right then, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Rick, you've summed it up very nicely for us. That's a great article, and I urge everybody, you find it at the Duran. It's Rick
yeah.
Sterling, investigative journalist. Thank you very, very much for talking
okay,
to
all right. Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.